Okay, started off the year, or sometime near the beginning of the year, who knows, looking at some old things we stand upon. We considered the doctrines of grace for several weeks. What's it mean to, what is sovereign grace? And again, that's what we stand upon. That's what we rest upon. And then last week, we began looking somewhat at the Lord's church and the background to it and the things that led up to it. And I don't know, we may look at that for a little while yet. We began last week and titled this sermon, The Place of the Lord's Choosing. The Place of the Lord's Choosing. Again, man says, well, go to the church of your choice. And yeah, I think folks, humanly speaking, have a right to do that, and they ought to do that. But they ought to go to the church of the Lord's choice. If anything's going to be accomplished, they need to go where the Lord has chosen, and not where they've chosen. And we looked last week at examples of this throughout history. The Lord has had a place that he's met with his people. A place where he's placed his name. A place that was of his choosing. And we looked at a passage in Deuteronomy where the Lord told his people Israel, they were to destroy all those false religions and those false temples and those false places of worship. He said, you should not utterly overthrow them. And he said, in Deuteronomy 12:4, ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes, to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. Folks say, well, follow your conscience. Yeah, that's not such a great guide, you know. And unless it's formed by this book, unless it's established by this, your conscience isn't worth spit. Well, that seemed like a good thing to do. I'm sure it did. You know, worship God as you know, as what feels good to you. Not just where the Lord chose. Down later on in that chapter, and we're not going to look all over what we did last week, but down in verse 11 it says, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes. Further down in Deuteronomy 12 he says, take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place thou seest. Some folks say, well, it don't matter what kind of church you go to, right? It doesn't matter, you know, what they believe or what their church organization is or what they believe about baptism or salvation. Yeah, it does matter. It matters big time. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of your tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. A few chapters on in Deuteronomy, God said, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover. A few verses down in Deuteronomy 16:11. In the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. God has a place in every age in which he has decided to put his name, and where he has decided to meet with his people. And in every age, we looked at the example of Moses, where the Lord gave instructions concerning the building of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a type of what eventually came, you know, the tabernacle and the temple and the Lord's church. And we're going to look at how these all tie together. But God determined, he told Moses, that you're to build a place where I'm going to meet with my people. God doesn't need shelter, you see. This was not for God, this was for his people. That they knew that that's where they would come to meet with him. And Exodus 25, God gave instructions. He said, well, there's lots of instructions to Exodus, so just very detailed. You read them, I mean the particulars, exactly what they're to be made of, and the order that is to be done, and how they're to fit together. But in Exodus 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee. Okay, so things that are different aren't the same. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around in this day and age, right? Because that seems like they want folks to think everything's the same. Everything, things that are different can still be the same. You know, a man can be a woman. A man can have a baby, you know. A woman can be a husband. What? Anyway, things that are different aren't the same. And God said, you're to do it after the pattern that I showed thee, that I may dwell, let them build me a sanctuary, that I may dwell with them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle. God said, this is the way it's supposed to be. He said, well, yeah, but it's more convenient to sprinkle a little water on a baby's face than to immerse an adult, you know, it's just easier. I said, you do it after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of the instruments thereof. You could relate that to the ordinances and so forth. Even so shall you make it. It's not what seems right to you, which seems good to you, which makes sense to you. It's after the pattern that God gave. God gave a very detailed pattern. Paul relates that in Hebrews 8, 5, and he tells us those things serve as an example. They serve as a shadow of what is to come. And remember back in Corinthians, he said these things happened unto them to be in samples to us. And in Hebrews 8, 5, Paul says this, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. You don't get to the part. Do things your own way. God gave a pattern. You know how you could tell where the house of God, where the true house of God was in that age? You could look at the book and you could see what conformed to the pattern. You know how to find a true church today? You look at the book, and see what conforms to the pattern that God gave. And if it doesn't, it's not God's house in that age. It's not where he's decided to meet with people. It's not where he's placed his name. I understand that's not real ecumenical, but it's true. And not that I think I understand everything, and I'm the end of it all. Believe me, I know I'm not. But by the grace of God, we seek to conform to what God gave us. I mean, Moses wasn't a perfect man. You can read some things about his life. He sometimes go off and... He could do something, but I tell you what, he followed the pattern that God gave him. And they built the tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave them. And after the tabernacle was completed, I mean, it was built, it was there, it was a tabernacle. But God showed his presence. God showed his approval. God showed his endorsement. God showed that this is where he was going to place his name in this age to everyone. in Exodus 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Somewhat of a picture, a foreshadow of our Lord said it's finished. You know, the Lord finished his work. He built his church. He finished the work. Jesus Christ built his church and finished his work. Jesus Christ said he would build his church, and he did. And he still is. See? But Moses built it, did everything God said. He finished the work. And we read in verse 34 of Exodus 40, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. People could see it. It's a cloud, and it was a bright light, pillar of fire, pillar. They could see these things. And God said, this is my house in this age. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because of the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So God had a house in that age. He has a house in every age. And he publicly says, this is my house in this age. You can see it. You'll see his endorsement. Well, after Israel settled in the land, God said, I'm going to give you another place. And it was likened to the one before. But Moses prophesied that the tabernacle would be superseded, but God would still have a house. Deuteronomy 12, verse 10. And then ye go over Jordan, and when ye go over Jordan, and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, all your choice vows, which ye vow unto the Lord. After you get in the land, of course, the tabernacle, that word tabernacle means tent. You know, it was, they picked it up and they moved it through the wilderness. They put it back together. God says, when you get in the land, you're going to build a permanent place, or more permanent place. There's going to be a temple where God's chosen for his name to dwell. A new format, a somewhat new shape, but the same institution, the house of God. The place where God chose to be worshipped, a place where God chose to have his name represented. 1 Kings 8, verse 20. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, says Solomon. You know, it took a while. David wanted to build the temple, and God said, nah. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And again, there was detailed plans given. There was a pattern given. God said, this is the way it's to be done. Exactly this way. There's to be no deviation. And that's what Solomon did. Verse 29 of 1 Kings 8. That thy eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there. And thou mayest hearken unto the prayer of thy servant, and that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer of thy servant that shall make toward this, shall make towards this place. God said, I have a house, a place in this age. And Solomon was built. Solomon was built. Solomon was used to build that house. Down in in chapter 7 of Kings, in verse 51. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. You know, Moses finished the work according to what God had given him in the pattern. God said, this is my house in this age. Solomon finished the work according to the pattern that God had given. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought all the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver, the gold, the vessels, did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And so the tabernacle was gone, was superseded. But men could still know and identify with God's chosen house by its pattern, by its authentication. In 1 Kings 8, verse 10. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. There's the temple, so that the priest could not stand to minister before the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And so the work was finished. God manifested once again and said, this is my house in this age. This is where I've determined to meet with my people. This is where I've determined to place my name. Today, God still has a house. It's not made of brick and mortar. It's made of his chosen people. It's made of lively stones. It's not some universal, invisible, ethereal thing. It's made of living people, of living stones. It's his assembly, for they gather together. It can be out on a hillside. It's where the Lord met with his church sometimes. He was the first pastor of that church. He built that church. Just as Moses built the tabernacle, just as Solomon built the temple. And when it was completed, God said, okay, I want everybody to know, this is my house in this age. This is where I'll meet with my people. And so, we look now at the church as the house of God. And we'll have to finish it up next week on that, but we'll look at it, get started there. Joel writes in Joel 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days I will pour out my spirit. God said, there's another house coming, and I'm going to manifest it. And that house would be authenticated and manifested to the world. And that's what we call the day of Pentecost. And we'll get into the details there. The church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ started the church when he called out his disciples. But it was manifested before the world, and God said, this is my house in this age. This is where I've determined to place my name. It was authenticated. Matthew 3 and verse 11, John would say this, I did baptize you with water unto repentance. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John was sent from God. He had the authority of heaven on his baptism. Remember, the Lord got in the dispute with his enemies, and they said to him, "What authority do you have?" And he said, "I'll ask you one thing, and you, if you can answer that, then I'll answer you." He says, "What authority does John have? Where did it come from?" And they wouldn't answer. They couldn't answer. And John said, "I need baptized with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Read what happens on the day of Pentecost and compare it to what happened with the tabernacle and what happened with the temple. And God was manifesting, "This is my house in this age." And I could get into so much here, but I'll say a couple things and we'll maybe look at it in more details next week. John said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance." And God's churches are still to baptize. But John also, "There's one coming after me that's mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's what happened on Pentecost. Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was a one-time historical event that happened on the day of Pentecost. It's not these folks say, well, you know, when you get saved, I hate that terminology, but when you get saved, then you get baptized. The Holy Ghost baptizes you into Christ. I don't know where they get that from. I can't find it in Scripture. I know a couple of verses they try to twist and turn. John said just the opposite. He didn't say the Holy Ghost is going to baptize you into Christ. Here's what Holy Spirit baptism is. John said, "He, Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Just the opposite of what these evangelicals tell us. The Lord baptized his church with the Holy Ghost. He authenticated it. He empowered it. Prior to that, during his earthly ministry, he was the present head. He was the pastor. He was the head. He's still the head. And after he was gone, he baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he said, "This is my church in this age." A one-time historical event. There were some later manifestations just to show everybody again, once again, to manifest things that the Gentiles were going to be included in this as well. Because some people needed convincing, you know, like Peter and some other folks like that. Because they said, "Yeah, okay, it's new and it's going to be a church. But what about those filthy, stinking Gentiles?" You know, and God said, "No, they're my people too. I have sheep that you don't know anything about. I have sheep that aren't of this fold." I'm glad he did. Mm-hmm. That was you and me, if you're a child of God. God has a house in this age. There are those who don't want to acknowledge that, or there are those that think somehow God's house is some big cathedral of Notre Dame, and that's not God's house. It's made of lively stones, and we'll look at that as we go on. Christ built it, and it was authenticated and empowered on the day of. I'll tell you one thing, as the Lord was teaching me some things early on, that Pentecost didn't build the church, the Lord did. And here's another testimony that John gave. Long before Pentecost, he spoke of Christ, and he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Okay, John says, "I see this. He has the bride. The church is the bride of Christ, and Christ had that bride." And John saw the bridegroom with the bride. It wasn't on Pentecost. John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." It matters. You know, if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to be identified as His people, that we meet God where He's determined to place His name. Mm-hmm. We meet God in His house. And it may not, in the eyes of the world, be much. But that doesn't matter at all. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered. And, well, you could get on so much. That word is really a passive or a middle, are gathered. I think it refers to what God does. It's not that, oh, we're going to gather together and be a church. No, the Lord gathers. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, they're covenanted together as a church of Jesus Christ, not where just two or three folks happen to be. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, we got stuck somewhere, and a major called me and wanted me to come and pray with him, because, you know, where two or three are gathered, then God's going to send a jet to get us out of here. And no, it did. We were still up there in the cold for a while. And, you know, the Lord could, yes. But that promise of the Lord speaking of His church, that gathering, that house of His in this age, and regardless. Okay, we'll pick up and look at that a little bit more next week, and then we'll go on somewhere from there, Lord willing. We'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing number 211, Whiter Than Snow, number 211.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. For Jesus looked down from Thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at Thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing I see Thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, Thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new create. To those who have sought Thee, Thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, privilege to gather as Your people. Lord, the privilege to gather as Your house. Place You've determined to meet and dwell with Your people. So Lord said, there will I be in the midst of them. A place where you've determined to place your name. Father, we're so unworthy of any of your blessings. We're not deserving of anything that was undertaken on our behalf. Father, we thank you for our Savior, his completed atonement, that he indeed washed us whiter than we were filthy and dirty and rotten. Father, I pray by your grace that we might be that people, that we might be that house that you would have us to be, to stand a true and a right, to acknowledge you as our Lord, our Savior, our Bridegroom. Lay your hand on each one that's here today, that you guide their paths in the coming week, that you be with them and take them safely home this afternoon. Be with us all as we go about our tasks during the week. And Lord, if you'd be pleased to use us to speak your truth, perhaps to bring your light where you've already given life. Oh, we thank you that you loved your people with an everlasting love, that you'll not lose one of them. And Lord, that all that comes our way comes from your hand, that we can trust, that we can rest in your sovereignty. I pray our lives might manifest such a trust, that our actions might be in accord with the assurance of your empowerment and your sovereignty. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, for his all-sufficient and completed atonement. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life, gave us repentance and faith, and brought us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. Just thank you, Lord, for your eternal love. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.